These verses are in the midst of Christ's discourse on the bread of life. Many a sermon is preached on Christ being the bread of life without any mention of what he actually said here. I've heard men say how wonderful it must have been to have lived while Jesus walked the earth and to have heard him speak. And yet they hate the very things he said and has recorded in his word. He says, first of all, that sin has so corrupted the minds and hearts of Adam's race that no one by natural ability can come to Christ. That's very, very offensive to the natural man. Hated by the religious world today, just as he was in that day, Christ speaks plainly about sinful depravity. This multitude he's speaking to asks him in verse 30, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? If you could perform one more miracle, like fill in our belly the way you did yesterday, we could believe on you." This is the day after he had performed the miracle with the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes and fed the great multitude. They said, if we could see something else like that. They were referring to seeing with natural vision. But the gospel of Jesus Christ does not appeal to the natural mind or heart. Jesus told them in verse 36, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." That's not the answer for you to see something else with the natural eye. You've seen plenty and still believe not. Seeing naturally is not to believe spiritually. Paul said it clearly in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We have the situation today, as it has been all of my lifetime and your lifetime, and this is what Brother Jim was talking about, people trying to talk other people into accepting Jesus. Well, the natural can't do it. It takes the Spirit of God to quicken, to give a new heart, an understanding, to give us eyes of faith to believe. Christ emphasized and reemphasized what sin has done to you prevents you in your natural and sinful state from coming to me. You can come to church. You can refrain from a lot of things that people say are bad. You can do a lot of things that people say are good. But you cannot come to me. He said it clearly in verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." He said it again in verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Every way you turn today, men are preaching. You've got a free will. You can come to Christ anytime you please. It's up to you. He's got nothing to do with it. That's the preaching that appeals to the natural heart. That God is the desperate one. And you're the one that's able to do him a favor by accepting him. That's not what Christ preached. He said, you can't come. No man can come. You've seen with your natural eyes. You claim that's all it would take. Show us another sign and we'll believe. Christ said, no, you won't. You can't. You have seen and believe not. Why? Why is this? John 10:26. You believe not because ye are not of my sheep. That's the why. You'll never believe to become one of my sheep. You'll only believe if you are one of my sheep. And even then it'll be God's Spirit working in you. Believing is not your gift to him, it's his gift to you. So this message of sinful depravity, of the inability of the natural man to come to Christ, it is a hated message by the religious world today, just as it was in his day. They would not have the Lord Jesus Christ preach in their pulpits. They do not believe what he preached. They hate him and hate what he preached. And folks tell me that. We're not going to hear it. The Jesus they love is not the Jesus of John 6. All right, what else did he preach? He preached that while the natural man cannot come, but by a miracle wrought by the Spirit of God in some hearts, some do come. Not by a decision of the natural man, no. But a miracle of the Spirit. Not all will come. By nature, no man can come. But by the Spirit of God, some will come. This is the blessed doctrine of unconditional election. Unconditional, nothing of qualifying on our part. But election, God's choice. Nothing in the natural man, but of God's choice. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. If it had something to do with intellect, dummies like me would not be included. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, bottom of the barrel, if you please, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. yea, and things which are not. That's what you all were and are not. He chose these to bring to naught things that are. Why did God do it this way? The next verse tells us that no flesh should glory in His presence. I done heard too many people say, boy, I'm glad I decided to become a Christian when I did. Is that so? Well, how did you do that? I thought God did the saving. I'm glad I got saved. Yeah. A drowning man don't get rescued. Somebody has to rescue him. A lost man don't get found. Somebody has to find him. A dead man don't get alive. He has to be quickened to life. And so nobody gets saved. God has to do the saving. No flesh should glory in His presence. Then Paul says it's of Him, that is of God, that ye are in Christ Jesus. You didn't do that for yourself. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, that's what Christ is to us, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ did it all. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Those who truly believe on Christ, and I trust everyone here does this morning, but those who truly believe on Christ and believe in Christ do not glory in their own ingenuity. They do not glory in their own wisdom to choose Christ. They do not glory in their emotional experience that they had that was must have been so much greater than what you had. They glory in the Lord. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Why? He's the one did it. He's the one did it if it's done. It's him that came after me, not me that came after him. It was his choice of me, not my choice of him. We love him because he first loved us. This crowd hated that kind of preaching, and they still do. Well, who are these chosen ones? Verse 37 tells us, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's not all that don't get drunk or all that don't cuss out loud. It's not all that prove by their moral uprightness that they're worthy of me. No, it's not that. That's not what it says. It's all that the Father hath given me. They come to me. Oh, people today will not have these words of Christ. Oh, no. We have to choose Him. He didn't choose us. It's our decision. Christ's preaching is a hated message today. Then there is the matter of a definite atonement. Did Christ make salvation possible for all and certain for none? Or did he die to make salvation certain for all for whom he died? Was his blood shed in vain? Let's let Christ himself answer that in John 10, 27 to 29. John 10, 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice. Why? Because they've got a new hearing aid with fresh batteries? No. Not that kind of natural hearing. This is spiritual language. My sheep hear my voice. Reaches not just to the ears, but to the heart. And I know them. And that word know means I know them intimately. As Adam knew Eve when she conceived. Christ made love to me. I know them. And they follow me. I don't plead, beg, try to get them to quit their meanness. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. It's not they can earn it, but I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish if they hold on. The promise is they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Ain't nobody going to do nothing he don't want done. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Christ died for a definite people. Matthew 1:21. They're called his people. Already his people before he was born. He didn't come into this world to try and start a new movement. He came into this world to continue and accomplish that covenant agreed on by the Holy Trinity. Before he hung the stars. That verse said, Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph before he was born, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. It's a definite statement. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's for whom he died. His people. His precious blood was shed to save his people. And not for religious folk to trample it underfoot and try to give it to people going to hell and people already in hell. The Lamb, John says, who was slain, worthy of all praise. John said in the Revelation, I saw him in the throne. And round about the throne, a multitude from every kindred, nation, and tongue. All the redeemed shall make it home. All for whom Christ died. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. And they shall never perish. Why? Because they're good at dodging wolves? No. I laid down my life. I'm the one that determines they'll never perish. Oh boy. Most religious folks will not have this message. But this is the preaching of Christ. They'd rather preach, oh, well, you know, I believe he's doing the best he can for everybody. Well, listen to this. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of my Father, which is in heaven? He tells this same crowd in John, them that believe on me, whom the Father have sent. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Haven't we built a tremendous ministry and affected thousands of people and helped lots of people? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. There's that word no again. I never made love to you. I never claimed you as one of my children. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's calling good, religious, humanitarian programs that help people. He calls it work of iniquity. When you ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to replace that with being goody-goody, that is a damning thing. Sending souls to hell. He called them workers of iniquity. And yet people say, no, it's an equal opportunity thing. I mean, Christ don't have the right to refuse service to anyone. What he does for one, he must do for all. Well, what he came to do, he did. And he did it well. And if what he does, he must do for all, then everybody's going to heaven because he was successful. Or either everybody's going to hell because he failed. Neither is true. Neither is true. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Christ redeemed his people by his own blood, and because of him, not because of us, every single one of his children are going to heaven, and the rest are going to hell. But that's not the Jesus of today talking like that. They hate him. They hate him. Another doctrine in this great sixth of John, I'm not looking at my timepiece here, it don't really matter. Another great doctrine here, that of effectual calling. Is the Holy Ghost defeated, doing his best to save people, and they won't let him and they go to hell anyway? No, again in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me ought to come to me. Is that what it said? No, that's not what it said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're coming. Saul of Tarsus was determined he wasn't coming. But in God's purpose, he was coming all the time. And in God's time, he met Christ face to face. Every one of us in our natural heart, like Saul of Tarsus, determined, I'm not coming. But in the purpose of God, he came to us. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us. He quickened us to life. And we came to Christ. Now, man-centered religion, modern religion, teaches that God quickened you because you came to Christ. No. This Bible teaches that you came to Christ because God quickened you. Men hate this message. You don't have to wonder this morning where you are. If you can sing from the heart, my hope is built on nothing less. We sing it, but can we sing it from the heart? Is this the bottom line truth that I really believe? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Aren't you glad the songwriter didn't say, my hope is built on nothing more? There is nothing more. Everything's less. And he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's solid ground. If you're still struggling to impress the Lord with your performance, you haven't come to Christ. But he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And when they come, that's who's coming, by the way, all that the Father giveth, not one more, not one less. And when they come, I will in no wise cast them out. Not under any circumstance will I ever refuse a single one the Father hath given me. One of the doctrine that many folks hate, the preservation and perseverance of the saints. They used to sing an old song 50, 60 years ago. You've got to keep walking. Keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk in the right way. No. If you're getting to heaven, if you're God's child, you're going to walk in the right way. You're not going to be perfect in this flesh, and none of us are. But you're not going to live like a child of hell when you're a child of God. Our Heavenly Father is a better parent than that. He'll whoop the devil out of you if you're his child. And if you're not, you're going to hell anyhow. What's it matter? But I'm talking to you about God's children. The preservation and perseverance of the saints. Can a saved person be lost again? That has been the teaching of some denominations for hundreds of years. But another question or two. Can a child that's been born become unborn? Can a sheep that was born a little lamb, a sheep, ever become a goat? No. No. Verse 39. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me. And by the way, in every one of these verses, 37, 38, 39, and 40, Christ talks about the Father and His will. He said, this is not just my doing in time. This is me and my Father and the Holy Spirit working from eternity. 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that is, with the eye of faith, not just with the natural eye, like He said about that other crowd, you've seen me and don't believe, but them which seeth the Son, with a quickened spirit, with the eye of faith, and believeth on Him, may have everlasting life. Is life that ends in 6 months everlasting life? No. Is a life that ends in 10 million years everlasting life? No. Everlasting life is everlasting life. My hope does not depend on what I've done or haven't done, but on what Christ has done. I'm saying He's the solid one, not me, not you. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. There's nowhere else to stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Or as one preacher said, all other ground is quicksand. Finally, the salvation of all. The certain salvation of all who come to Christ. Verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He uses the words cometh and believeth synonymously. It's not he that decides to come, but he that cometh. It's not he that chooses to believe, it's he that believeth. Verse 47, it's not verily, verily, I say unto you, he that decides, no, it's he that believeth. So it is with John 3:16, when Christ is talking to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that He didn't let the whole thing go to hell. But He sent me into the world that whosoever decides to believe. No, no, no. Whosoever believeth. That is, them that do shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you a believer this morning? I trust you are. He that believeth. It's not for whosoever won't. It's for whosoever will. Psalm 110 verse 3. The Father said to the Son, thy people. This is the same people He came to save. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Not their power. We don't have any. But in the day of thy power. In these 31 years, I've been blasted by a lot of whosoever won't, contending for whosoever will. Well, the gospel is not for whosoever won't. It's for whosoever will. And it's the Spirit of God that has to change you from being a whosoever want to a whosoever will. So many contend for whosoever will. But nothing depends on your contending. God is saving His people while this religious world continues their party. And hates the preaching of the very one they claim to worship. This is the Lord Jesus Christ preaching these things. Do you oppose the preaching of Christ? I sure trust you don't. If you can't believe that salvation is of the Lord, not just from the Lord, but of the Lord. If you can't believe that salvation is of the Lord, then you don't have any. So it's not natural ability that's worth anything. No man can come. Unconditional election. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Definite atonement. Christ's blood accomplished something. No one else wants to come. Effectual calling. The Father which sent me draws my people to me. He draws them. That was in verse 44 and also 65. And the final preservation and perseverance. This is the Father's will. Verse 39. That I should lose nothing. How is he doing with it all? He's doing quite well. It's not about my efforts and how am I doing to be accepted with God, but how is he doing? He's doing all right. Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood. He didn't ask for your help to please his Father. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place and done what? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's a done deal. A work salvation is blasphemous. To follow your natural mind, as we all do from day to day, about what I might could do to make God smile on me, or what I might be careful not to do to keep from making him mad at me. Christ entered in once and by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's why we sing, it's his oath, his covenant, his blood. That's why we sing, my hope is built on nothing less. Lord, they know you should trust in nothing less. And everything else is less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Oh, I just love so-and-so. He's so sweet. She's so sweet. I tell you, I've never heard a preacher, I'd drive 100 miles. Listen, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. But wholly, that means entirely, lean on Jesus' name. These old songwriters have more gospel in the songs than this modern outfit has in the pulpit. Salvation is of the Lord. And I believe I'll just stop right there. Let's stand.